1 Kings chapter 1, we've already gone through the first four verses. We find that, David was cold and old, remember? You had the professional bed warmer, Abishag, who was very faithful in her duties. And we are not to suppose that David had any sexual relations with her because the Bible tells us otherwise. In verse 5, we've already moved on from that particular scene to Adonijah, which was David's oldest son. Now, Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." So he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had never crossed him at any time, and underline that. Because that's what we're going to focus on the rest of this message, and maybe for a couple of more. And his father had never crossed him at any time by asking, "Why have you done so?" And he was also a very handsome man, and he was born after Absalom. He was born chronologically after Absalom, but this is also referring to he was born in the likeness of Absalom. He was very handsome, and he was also very rebellious like Absalom was. But what we're focusing on is that his father had never crossed him. That prompted me to be able to introduce to you last Sunday the doctrine of rearing children. The doctrine of rearing children. And you may remember some of the points that I gave you. By the way, on all the messages that I'm doing in 1 Kings, there will be printed notes in the back for you if you'd like to get them afterwards. But this is essentially what we've gone through so far in the doctrine of rearing children. What is the goal in rearing children? The goal is genuine humility. And I spent a lot of time last Sunday demonstrating that children are not born with humility. Humility is not the natural course with regards to children. What is? Arrogance. They want what they want when they want it. And that's natural. You don't have to train children to be selfish, to be rude, to be arrogant. They automatically are that way. So the goal for parents is to teach genuine humility. Now, genuine humility is having self-discipline. It's disciplining yourself. And so when the child leaves the nest, if the parents have not done their job, woe unto us. Woe unto society. And that's why we're in the shape we're in today, because for the most part, in this country, parents have been miserable failures. And they've bought the lie. They've bought into this, I don't know what the guy's name, Norman Vincent Peale, and some of these other gurus of pediatrics, which would allege that all you have to do is love them. Just love them. Just shower them with love. That's all you need. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Well, it does say to love your children, but not the way that they present it. Question is, now, how is that goal achieved? Well, it's achieved by enforced humility. Enforced humility. Now, enforced humility, you will notice, has the word force in it. You have to force children to be humble. And that is the integral part of rearing children. Now, there are some methods that we've touched on one so far, rules and boundaries, and I just set you up for the rules. I hadn't given you any yet. But first of all, the methods to achieve this genuine humility by enforced humility, first of all, you have to set rules and boundaries. Absolutely necessary. Second of all, there has to be structure and routine for children. Without structure and routine, they live in an environment that is confusing to them. They live in an environment that is insecure. They have to have structure and routine. The next thing is praise and encouragement. They need that as much as they need everything else. And then, of course, correction and discipline. And then after the correction and discipline comes affection and reassurance. Those are the areas that we're going to. I'm just giving you a little preview. So the methods are rules and boundaries, structure and routine, praise and encouragement, correction and discipline, affection and reassurance. And so I'm going to give you now some rules and boundaries. These are suggestions, and they come in two different categories. First of all, what the child is to do and what the child is not to do. See, there are rules. All rules aren't negative. Some rules are you will do this and you won't do that. So we're starting with the positive first. And that's where you always want to start, is the positive, is it not? So, what the child is to do. Number one, always obey your parents. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children will always ask, why? If you have children, I don't have to tell you that. Johnny, go clean your room. Why? And you, if you were reared in the era that I was, I ask why also. And I got this response, and you'll probably ring familiar in your ear. Because I said so. Ever heard that before? Have you ever said that before? And some people think, oh, well, that's just not right. That's going to be insensitive to the children. No, it's just a matter of fact. Parents are not required to explain themselves to the children. Because the children aren't in charge. They're not supposed to be. The parents are in charge. Now, there may be certain times, especially later on when children become teenagers, and they have a command or they have a rule or they have something from their parents, and they're just confused. Why is this? Now, you may want to address that because it would be part of their training and learning process. They can learn something from it. But in the example I gave, you tell your child, I don't care what age they are, go clean up your room, and they say, why? Well, because I said so. And I want to say something else while I'm at this point. I see it more than I used to, but I see parents asking their children to do things. And that just grades on me. Because children are little sponges, and they take up on the subtleties. They are really acutely aware of what's going on. And when you ask your child to do something, in their mind, it gives them a choice. Well, maybe I will, or maybe I won't, because they asked me. They didn't tell me. It is not incorrect. In fact, it is proper for parents to command their children, go get me a glass of water. I've told you before. My daughter tried me one time, and it was really easy. It was really easy to handle. I said, go get me a glass of water, hon. She said, don't you mean please go get me a glass of water? And I said, no, dear. I mean, go get me a glass of water. That is a command. It's not a request. And you know what her response was? Oh, okay. Went and did it. Somewhere along the line, she had this element of rebellion rubbing off on her, you see. And so, that's just another thing. Always, you have to realize that children will get the upper hand if you allow them to. The sweet little darlings. It's just their nature. It's your nature. It's my nature. So, it's important to realize that they are to obey their parents. Without question. In other words, the parent's word is law. Law, law, law. That's it. No discussion. What are you going to do if your child, if you get in a pattern of every time you give a command, your children ask why? Let's take an example. for some reason your child got out in the road because you weren't doing your job. And you see a car coming. You say, Johnny, get out of the road! Well, why? Splat! Did the parent do their job? Of course, they'll blame it on the driver. You know, they'll sue the car company and the brake manufacturer and everybody else. So the parent's word is law, and you don't back away from that. Point number two, or rule number two. Show proper respect when speaking to adults by using honorifics like yes, sir, no, sir, Mr. Smith, Mrs. Smith. Yeah and nah are four-letter words that are not to be used. Again, children are very perceptive. And honorifics are doing just what the word would suggest, and that is showing proper honor to those who have authority over you. The fifth commandment is given in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And then it's spoken of again in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2 through 3. And it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. What a promise! Don't just let that fly right by you. It's the fifth commandment to honor your father and mother. And it's the first commandment that has a promise to go along with it. And again, I say, what a promise! What's the promise again? The promise is that it may be well with you and that you're going to live long on the earth. Isn't that what you want? Isn't it? Is there anybody in here that doesn't want that? Everybody wants that, right? For it to be well with you and that you live long on the earth. And what is the promise given? What is it attached to? Honoring your father and mother. And part of that honor, or at least it used to be, is saying, yes, sir. No, sir. And I know that today that is all but lost, and that's very sad. And some parents will say, well, you know, I would do that to my children, but nobody does that anymore. Oh, that's a really good reason. Nobody else is doing it. So, you don't want to stick out and be odd. Let me give you an example. Maybe this will help reinforce how important this is. Let's say there are children out on the playground and they get into a point where they're misbehaving. An adult, let's say Bob Thompson. I don't think we have a Bob Thompson here. I just made it up. Bob Thompson is going to go out and he's going to try to correct this situation. Now, if those children see Bob Thompson coming and they have known him and referred to him as Bob, and they would say, oh, here comes Bob, that has a certain ring to it and a certain weight to it. But if they said, oh, here comes Mr. Thompson, doesn't that have a better ring and more weight to it? It suggests that they're not on an equal plane. You don't speak to adults like you speak to your little friends out on the playground. There is that measure of respect that should be demanded. And all it takes is for the parents to insist upon it. And I know, I've talked to parents about this before. Well, you know, they go to school, and in school, they don't make them say yes sir, no sir to the teachers anymore. And they can call the teachers by their first name, which I think is a ghastly thing, but evidently that's going on. But you know what will happen if a child is taught properly in this area, and they're speaking to an adult, let's say that one of the children on the playground said, oh, Mr. Thompson, you know, we're back to Bob Thompson. Mr. Thompson, and Bob says, oh, you don't have to call me Mr. Thompson, you can call me Bob. A child that is trained properly will say, oh, excuse me, sir, but I can't do that. My parents have taught me to say yes sir and no sir and show proper respect to adults. If that happened, it would just blow me away. Is it possible? Absolutely. It just takes resolve on the part of the parents. And again, I will tell you, you are reinforcing in your child's mind that if you can refer to an adult in the same way that he can refer to his little kids out on the playground, his little friends, then you have lost a tool, a very valuable arsenal in instilling that respect in children. Number three, always show proper manners. So we only have three rules so far. Obey your parents, speak to them with respect, and now we have show proper manners. By the way, I haven't said it yet, but I guess I will at this point. It would be a good idea to write these rules down. I think it would be a good idea to make a poster. Laminate it. Put it on a wall. These are the rules. Did God put the rules for us in writing? Well, Ten Commandments? Just think. God is concise. He didn't overwhelm us with rules. That's what the Judaizers did and the Pharisees. They added to God's law with a ton of other things that weren't even pertinent, and they got into legalism. But he only gave us 10 basic laws or rules to live by. Now, there's many more in the Mosaic Law, but I'm talking about 10. And he put them in writing. Why wouldn't a parent do the same? Put it in writing. So the kids will have that in their mind, and that's going to be important. If I get to it, to that verse, it will instill that. So I have a few ideas about manners here. First of all, say thank you, please, and excuse me. I am horrified at children these days. Step on your toe, and they look at you. Walk off. No, excuse me. And it's not normal for a child. You can give a child exactly what they want, something that's a prize to them, and you give it to them, and what's the natural thing for them to do? They take it and they just walk off. That's natural. But what should be natural is, and I know it happened to me when I was growing up, it happened to my daughter when she was growing up, every time someone gave her something, I was, I had my ear right. Where is it? I'm waiting for it. Come on, let's hear it. And sometimes it didn't come. What did I do? What do you say? Oh, thank you. Those two words mean more than a person could describe. Throughout life, they mean more than a person can describe. And it shouldn't be just in formal settings. With your spouse, with your friends. You're going down the road. This happened to Danny and I before in a truck, going down the road. He's driving. He's chewing gum. I'll just give you an example. He said, would you like a piece of gum? Yeah, I'd like a piece of gum. He gives me a piece of gum, and guess what happens? Before his hand is removed, I'm saying, thank you. Piece of gum. Why? Because I was trained properly. And because it instills a sense of true appreciation, you don't take anything for granted. So this isn't just on the big thing. This is on everything to everybody. You show appreciation and you say thank you. And it starts when they're old enough to speak. That's when you start instilling it in them. Not only thank you, but please. Ho-ho. In the 50s, if a child went to a parent and told the parent, gave the parent an order, you know how that would fly. About like those dodo birds. I understand they have big birds and big wings, but no, dodo birds do fly. I guess a penguin. It flies about like a penguin. How about that? It wouldn't fly at all. So it's always please and excuse me. Proper manners. Another point. Use proper table manners, eating without smacking, talking without food in your mouth, and sitting up straight. Those type of things. I hated table manners when I was growing up. Just give me the grub. It got so bad that I remember that my parents got a book for me. And the name of the book, I still remember it, Elbows Off the Table. That was the name of the book. That's all I remember. I don't even think I read it. But I was required. Y'all don't be looking over the table here. Why is everybody looking over here? But I was required to use proper. I wanted to hold a fart like this. You know, just grab it, shovel it in. No, there's a proper way to handle it. Why like this? This is kind of off balance, and it's. No, this is the way to do it. And when you chew, you keep your mouth shut. Well, if parents aren't diligent in this, a child can develop bad habits. Have you ever been around a person that smacks when they eat? It just ruins a wonderful meal. I mean, you just feel like screaming. You feel like just. This is the best time to give this. Before dinner and not after. So, you know, nip those in the bud and don't let them pass. Stay on it because your children will thank you. Because no one wants to have lunch with a smacker or somebody that's telling you a big yarn like this and you're just, oh. This is what children do. It's normal. It's not. Well, what does the children start? They're eating with their hands. Just shovel it in. And there's some adults that haven't gotten very far past that. See, I want to be a tough guy. See, I'm tough. I don't have to be table manager for sissies. That was my idea. Well, that was drummed out of me. I don't have, you know, I have to admit, when I leave a place, restaurant or anything, and if anybody's, the people that know me probably know this also, I don't have to wonder where I sit because it's the messiest place. I mean, it's just, but I try. I mean, I'm trying to keep all the food in my on my plate and that type of thing. Well, let's get on with where you got the point. The next one is be courteous. What do we have so far in manners? Say thank you, please, and excuse me. Use proper table manners. Now, be courteous. Look people in the eye when you greet them and give them a firm handshake. Don't give your children a pass when adult, especially an adult, comes up and says, well, hello, Junior, how are you doing? Don't let them just go, Just ignore it. They've asked you a question. They are being courteous. Or, what's your name, little girl? That's rude. It's not cute. And I've seen people, she's just shy and rude. Are you going to, and it hampers the children's development because they get used to that. People come in and they're afraid to meet people. And from the very onset, if you demonstrate to them, look, you just look somebody right in there. Hello, I'm Mr. Jones. I'm Mike Smith. Glad to meet you. You know, firm handshake. Teach them that from the very beginning because it matters. Aren't you impressed with children that do that? When a child, here's a little old lad, and he walks up and says, yes, sir, I'm done. You know, shake my hand. Tell me who he is. Look me right in the eye. I appreciate that. Parents are drawn, or adults are drawn to children like that, and they avoid those who are not courteous. I had an incident in a bank one time with a woman over this very issue. My daughter was kind of shy. And we were standing in line. The lady behind us says, well, that sure is a pretty little girl. Darling, what's your name? And I couldn't believe it. I said, she just asked your name. And I took her to the side. I said, hon, you're being rude. That lady's being polite. She's asking you your name. You know your name. You go back there, you look her right in the eye, and you tell her, my name is Allie Smith. Nice to meet you. She didn't want to do it, but she knew that she didn't have a choice. So she went back and, hello, I'm Allie Smith. Nice to meet you. And you know what my daughter is involved in now, what her job has to do with? They used to call it personnel. personnel. Now they call it, human resources. Maybe I did a good job. Okay, so we have to be courteous and be thoughtful. Always use the golden rule. By the way, the golden rule is found in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's not impossible when you're rearing children properly. Teach them unconditional love, no matter how they treat you. Start early and teach them. And then the last one on this manners issue is when you are wrong, admit it. Don't make excuses. Apologize to those you have hurt. And that's it. That's all there is on the positive side. What are they again? Obey your parents. Show proper respect when talking to your parents. Always show proper manners and admit it when you're wrong. That's not that many, is it? Can't children handle those? Wouldn't it make a world of difference if those rules were enforced? Now I'm going to get into what the child is not to do. It's a little late, but we start a little late, so that's just fine. And you don't have to drive to where you're going to go eat, so we'll get a point or two in here. So what is the child not to do? First of all, don't talk back or sass. That means to talk impudently or disrespectfully. Tone and volume must show respect. Don't let your children raise your voice to you. If you're getting a conversation with your child, I don't care what age they are, and they start raising, if their tone changes to where it's disrespectful, if it's snotty, if it's smart aleck, if it's too loud, forget what you're talking about. Deal with that right then and there. Whoa, wait. Can't go any further now. Back it up. Your tone is out of line. Let's try that again. Run that by me again, and this time show proper respect. You have to demand it. And I don't care how excited they are or how they think that you're a tyrant and you're unjust and unfair and all these other things. Always regulate the tone and the volume and the manner in which children speak to you. Two, don't roll the eyes. You all know what rolling the eyes is. I don't know if you can see it from here, but it's this type of thing. Rolling the eyes is a nonverbal way of showing disrespect. And just because they don't say it, don't let them show it. It's a slap in the face. They're just doing it nonverbally. And a lot of parents say, oh, well, they didn't say anything. Oh, yes, they did. They were using body language. And they just told you to go to hell. And you're going to let them get by with it because they didn't say it verbally. Don't allow rolling the eyes. And children do that. The third one. Don't interrupt others, especially when adults are talking. They shouldn't interrupt each other, but when adults are talking? How many times have you been in a situation where adults are talking and a kid just comes in, I want to show you my new toy, like this. And all the adults, in a very important conversation, have to stand back and sit and wait for the child to finish his dissertation on the toy that he just got. Are children going to do these things naturally? Absolutely. So parents, I know that we have a lot of kids back here today. Excuse me. And so if your children, after what I've been teaching, come up and start being number one on the hit parade on these infractions, don't be embarrassed and don't melt down. Just take care of it. And I wish that I could just go on and teach. I've been wanting to teach this, by the way, for quite a while because it's so sorely needed. But the solution to every infraction is not spanking. In fact, you're going to love it when we get down to the discipline part. That's where the rubber meets the road. And I start out by, I'm giving you the headline here, corporal punishment. to spank or not to spank? What does the Bible say? But spanking isn't for everything. In fact, it shouldn't be for many things. It's for open defiance. But you have to be creative. You have to be tuned in. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm just trying to prepare some of you people who are going to be going back here and socializing, and your children are going to be socializing. We all know that children aren't perfect. And if they butt in, if they say, "Do you want some potatoes, Johnny?" "Nah." We understand these things happen. We also understand you have the opportunity to take care of it. And this, hopefully this series is going to help you do that. Well, I'm just completely out of time now. Tape's about to go off. So what do we have in the way of what the child is not to do so far? Don't talk back or sass. Don't roll the eyes. And don't interrupt others, especially adults, when they're talking. Now, I have 11 do nots. That's not too bad. I have 3 categories of do's and 11 don'ts. Children ought to be able to manage that, so you don't want to overburden them. God gave us 10 and 10 commandments, and I could narrow this down to 10, but I don't want to leave out number 11. It's a good one, but you're going to have to come back next time and see what it is. So, let's close. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father, the perfect parent. We thank you for your love, for your direction, for your word, for your discipline. We thank you for the opportunity we had today to express our faith in Jesus Christ through the communion, through focusing on Him. We pray that you will help us to carry these concepts with regards to rearing children on, whether we have children or not. It could be grandparents, it could be friends or relatives. Also, we need to apply them to ourselves. We thank you for this, and we pray it all in Christ's name. Amen.